Thank you for listening to our New Life Christian Center podcast. Stay tuned after the sermon for more ways to connect with us.
So if you would please, just open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're talking about the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And I told you last week when I gave this to Jeremy, he says, you've done that before. I have since looked at those notes and I didn't miss anything by not realizing I'd done that before. I'm actually just recycling the title, which is really a bad deal when you think, oh good, when your weeks kind of run together and you don't really have the time that you'd like to have. It would have been really handy to have a set of notes that I'd already preached, and that was not the direction God was sending me. And so Jeremy does have the title art. So there you go. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this time. We just are so blessed, Lord, because we recognize that you had a plan for us. And that plan, Father, is not only put together by you as the creator of the universe, but it's also kind of enforced or brought to life through the Spirit of God that lives in us and your living word. And so we are grateful, Father, for all that you do. As we look at your word today, Father, let the power of your life come into us, that we might be changed so that we never return back to the way we used to be, but rather we're moving just step upon step, glory by glory, Father, into your image. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we looked last week at a couple of scriptures where the Bible says that God gave the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. The idea behind the guarantee is a partial payment or pledge of a whole payment. And so let me give you the big picture here. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, 20, maybe. Thank you. That's it. Good. It says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember that when you accept Jesus Christ, you are putting in motion the purchase of the Father. The Father bought you back from a life that was tainted by sin, by Adam's activity. I'm not saying that none of you are sinners. What I'm saying is this whole thing got started because of one guy named Adam who was given instruction by God. He said, listen, you can have 99.9% of everything here, but I don't want you to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. It was his job then to transfer that to Eve. Don't ever blame Eve for what Adam did. Adam's responsibility, according to God, was to govern that and to use what God had said to him to bring to pass what God's intent was. And he failed at that. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and in other places that sin enters the world through one man's sin. That's Adam. Jesus, the second Adam, fixed that. The sacrifice of Jesus is the payment price for you. Now, I know that's all basic stuff, but I want you to see then that God sent the Holy Spirit back as a guarantee, almost like an earnest payment. Okay, so if you've ever entered into a contract to buy a piece of property or to buy a house, it's likely that you made an earnest deposit. You said, hey, I'm so serious about this, I'm going to write you a check or I'm going to give you money for X amount of dollars to suggest my intent. And I don't know if any of you have ever had to back out of a deal like that, but you're at the grace of the organization and the people who are selling the property. They do not have to give your earnest money back. So again, this is a serious kind of legal deal that God uses language in the Bible to help us understand this. So it says when you're bought with a price, see, that's this thing that says Jesus paid the price. The Holy Spirit comes into your life upon your salvation to not only enforce but inform. Not only enforce but informed. Now, I don't want to have the argument about once saved, always saved, but can I just point out to you that if you're saved, I highly doubtful that you want out. Okay? So, you know, let that boat float. You say, well, now you know if somebody lives wrong. Listen, sin isn't what sends people to hell. The lack of the acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus is what sends people to hell. Okay? You choose By not accepting the purchase price, Jesus Christ, you choose to go to hell. Now, don't be blaming God for that. God did everything he could. Just imagine if it was up to you and you had to sacrifice one of your children to create the purchase price for people you don't even know. See, the Bible says God so loved that he gave. He didn't know you. I mean, I know some of you are saying, well, God knows everything. Okay, right. See, it's funny how we kind of default to this idea that God just absolutely knows everything. Listen, God bound himself by his word. Okay? You say, well, God knows everything. Okay, maybe he does, and that's great. I'm okay with that. But please, if you get to this place, you're going, well, if he knows everything, then why does he let these things? You see how this deteriorates? Why does he let this happen? Well, remember, you have a responsibility to act as if you've been purchased. Right? Here it is. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have a responsibility then to live up to the purchase price. Right? My mother-in-law always told the story. She was a significant Diet Coke drinker. Okay? But earlier in life, she drank Diet Pepsi. Does anybody want to know why she became a Diet Coke drinker? As she was drinking back in the olden days before cans, I know you guys probably remember that. How many of you remember paying 2 cents for the bottle, for the right to hold the bottle? Right? I do. My brother and I used to drive down alleys and steal people's returns so that we could go to the motel and trade 5 of them in. Pop cost a dime. Trade 5 of them in, and if we could find 6, we could take the bottle with us. But if we couldn't, we had to stand by the pop machine and drink it. Okay? So anyway, the story in our family is that Grandma slammed down a Diet Pepsi like this, and as she looked at it, it had a dead animal in it. Yeah. How many of you know she didn't get what she paid for? Right? See, you have to understand that I don't care. I honestly do not care whether I get my 2 cents back, the deposit, right, on the bottle. I don't care if I get my 2 cents back. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm keeping that bottle because you know why they charged you the 2 cents, right? Do you know why? They reused the bottles. They reused the bottles. Now, I'm not squeamish or anything, but I'd rather not drink out of that bottle. I don't care how many times you wash it. See, the deposit does no good unless what it purchases has an inherent value determined by someone else. Is that right? How many of you know, regardless of your state in life, that God put a value on your head? That value was equal to the cost of the sacrifice. That value was equal to the deposit that he offered to hold you. You're bought with a price. You're sealed or guaranteed by the deposit, the earnest money of the Holy Spirit. There has to be inherent value accepted and determined by somebody else for this to work. So don't ever just be a sinner. See, you're already in the realm of Christianity, you're already devaluing yourself by saying, well, I'm just this. And it wrinkles me so bad when people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Evidently not, because your grace didn't do anything for you. You're still a sinner. And you say, well, but don't you understand, Pastor? Yeah, I understand that you're wrong. Either you've been changed or you haven't. The price is sufficient and it was determined at a level above your pay grade. God determined that. Do not devalue yourself by your actions. I'm not saying you can act any way you want. You shouldn't do that, but you shouldn't determine your identity or your value by your worst day. When you goof up on the worst day, Right? How many of you ever had a really strong opinion about something and then went through something kind of like that and it changed your really strong opinion? I've done probably a dozen. I'm just going to touch the most serious one. And then we'll get into what God gave me for today. I've done a dozen or so suicide funerals. What do you do with that? Because you see, when you got really strong opinions, well, you know, just bless God, Pastor. They're going to hell. Well, put a face on it. Attach your heart to it. You say, well, the Bible says, just exactly where do you think the Bible says that? See, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. We have to come to the place where we recognize that on your worst day, God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. He determined your value. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. The value for you was determined at a place above your pay grade. The folks of heaven got together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and got together and said, yep, that's a good plan. We declare that the creation is worth this price. Please stop arguing with them. Amen. That's the guarantee I'm talking about. So look at this. Here's our scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That only took 18 minutes to get here. Notice verse number 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now if you'll read this whole passage, he's talking about how God decided that if your earthly body was torn down, how many of you think that your earthly body will be torn down? How many of you are in some state of renovation right now? Wishing it wouldn't be torn down quite so quickly, right? You get up in the morning and go, I'm not sure my foundation's going to hold me. I played basketball yesterday with my 13-year-old grandson, who, contrary to the belief of my mind, is actually faster than me. So I told him, he can always be faster than me, but I'm fatter than him, and I'm still going to push him. So there you go. My natural man is really decaying day by day, right? But my inner man is being renewed day by day. So as this part you see begins to become a slum area, the part on the inside of you, come on. See, when I use terms like this, many of you don't realize that you confess your slumliness every morning when you get up. Oh, I'm just so old, I can't. How many ever said, I'm just so old, I can't remember? That was decided above your pay grade. The Bible says, I'm going to show it to you in just a second, that the Holy Spirit came to remind you of everything that God said. You don't have to have a memory. What's that? The memory of the righteous is blessed. Remember Joanne Quiggle? She had Alzheimer's. When we were helping them and I went to her house, and she's got sticky notes everywhere telling her what's in the cupboard and all that, because she was just losing track. But if you would talk to her about the Bible, out it would come. She didn't know where the soup was. For weeks, she got the same exact delivery from the grocery store. Same exact delivery. She had like 8 jugs of Tide. Because every week she got one. She didn't have natural memory well enough. And it's a terrible disease. Please don't look up and say, well, bless God, Pastor. No. Let's just walk with each other through some of this stuff. I realize God wants to heal those things, and I'm all for that. But again, when you're walking in this, let's have a level of grace that says that person's value, with or without memory, was determined at a pay grade above mine. See, there's some value there. So this is what he's saying. He says, listen, he who prepared us this very thing, this transition from a natural understanding to a spiritual understanding, was guaranteed by the deposit of the Holy Spirit. So listen, I don't ever want you to go back to that place where you say, well, I just don't understand God. You have a deposit on the inside of you that guarantees your understanding. But what do? We only want to understand God when it benefits us. Right? I mean, sorry, I'm off on my soapbox again. Verse number 6, so we are always confident. Do you see this? When he prepares us by this deposit of the Holy Spirit, he says we are always confident. It always wrinkles me when I recognize that some people who actually buy into what this says are condemned by the church of Jesus Christ because of their confidence. Because of their confidence. I spoke with a pastor this week, and he says, okay, pastor, here's what's going on in our life. And I said, oh, great. And you know, what they wanted to talk about was one of my hot buttons. And I just thought, push that button. Please push the button. Please, please, please push the button. Because I am about ready to explode. The minute I heard what they were talking about, I went, praise God, this is right up my alley, man. Here I come. Yeah! And he pushed my button, and out it came. Okay, now, why am I confident? Is it because you would view me as arrogant? I can no longer run fast and jump high. I do it in my mind all the time. But I can't on this earth. In fact, I'm about half scared to jump. You know, if you jump, gravity works every time. You're coming down. Landing on your reconstructed ankle and your 3 knee surgeries. I'm staying on the ground. Just telling you, I'm on the ground. You say, well, don't you want to jump? No. Sometimes it hurts. See, I don't want you to see what any Christian has as arrogance. Some people have a confidence. You've met people like that where they make decisions based on somebody you've never seen and potentially never heard talking to them in a way that makes sense to them. Right? They've heard God's voice in such a way that it changes them, and they talk as if they actually believe it. That's what he said he would do. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We recognize our positionality. I am going to have some level of humanness limitation. Right? Again, 2 Corinthians says, my outward body is kind of going downhill every day, but my inward being renewed every day. Right? I know that as long as I'm here, there are some limitations that come with humanity. But he's saying, listen, I'm very confident of this thing, that while I'm at home, I'm absent from the Lord. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do anything? Listen, the absence that you recognize is the distance that the promises of God travel. Chugga, 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 chugga. From where you sit in life and where the seat that you sit in providentially by God, right? We're all seated in heavenly places. The distance from where you're sitting today and where you're seated in the spirit realm, that's the absence. It's the pathway of God's best from heaven to you on earth. He's recognizing I'm absent from the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying, I know that there's a pathway that the will and the power of God travel. Listen, you see things differently when you're seated in heavenly places. Close your eyes, go up there and sit down and look around. Tell me what you think you see. It's different. And he says, pray this way, pray after this manner. Whatever's done in heaven, have it done on earth. See, that absence is the space between what God promised you would have to what you live in your humanity. He's saying, listen, make sure to recognize that. That's the space. That's the distance. I cannot, in and of myself, produce what God promised. Right? No one in here is a quote unquote healer. Sorry. We see through a glass dimly. We're just being the vessel from point A, seated in heavenly places, to point B, standing on the earth. You are a vessel of God's intent from there to here. That's the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can have confidence. People ask me all the time, Pastor, if you believe in healing, why isn't everybody healed? That's a good one, right? Why is it that we're trying to figure out in our humanness why something doesn't happen, when the reason it happens is because of a spiritual process? See, here's what we say. Well, they must not have had much faith. Okay, wait a minute. I was bought at a pay grade above mine. My value is determined by God, not by what I can do or how I can do, you know, whatever. And so then we say, well, you know, they must not have had much faith. That doesn't have anything to do with it. See, the minute that we leave this understanding of the preparation from natural to spiritual, we try and find natural answers for why things don't go the way we want. And you know, that doesn't feel well. It doesn't feel very good, right? If I say, well, the reason that in your situation something so tragic happened to you is because, well, just honestly, I mean, really, you sure you want to hear this? I mean, just, you know, well, God needed your child. Hockey puck. That's not right. I don't know what right is, but that ain't it. God needed an angel. Nope. That's not right either. He made them at the beginning. In a finite way. In the way you want to know why I know it's a finite way? Because I start to see, you know, a third of them, which is a numerical fact, falling with Lucifer. Well, if they're unlimited, a third doesn't mean anything. I don't know how many there are. I know how many of them made a wrong choice. About 30% of them went the wrong direction. Right? And so we get to this place where while I'm still in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. That emphasizes the difference between God's promise and our position. Right? We become a vessel. We become a vessel of getting God's promises through us to them. Not everybody believes the word. Not everybody believes that they deserve to be saved. Yes? See, it's another one. Well, I don't deserve this. Really? How is deservedness determined? By you? God looked at everything while you're yet sinners and said, they deserve a Savior. I don't care how bad people are. I know, see, don't send me an email, okay? Don't text me anonymously. People deserve to be saved. It's not your call. Say, well, I've done too much. God knew that. He still chose to sacrifice His Son for you and to give you the guarantee of the Holy Spirit to improve upon your state. Isn't that awesome? That's the guarantee of the Holy. See, so many people, they say, well, you know, you've got to do this to get the Holy Ghost. Nope. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, that it's the Holy Spirit who does the work of cleaning you up. If He's not there, you got no hope of wearing a clean spirit. Zero hope of your soul making righteous choices without Him doing the work. Are we all together? You see the importance of this guarantee and how important it is for you to use the guarantee to then determine certain practical things like your value. Please don't value yourself by what you do. Or more importantly, stop devaluing yourself by what you did. The skeletons in your closet are not the value of your today. Why would you goof up to... Imagine if your past was a plastic bag full of waste. Have any of you ever let your trash get like one night, you know, you had fish and you cook the salmon, you know, skin side down, but you don't eat the skin. And so there's not much skin on a piece of salmon. And so that just kind of gets rolled and you just throw it in the trash and your trash bag hasn't been, it didn't have much in it. So now at the bottom of your trash is this decaying piece of fish. And the following day, after a 70 degree day in your house, you come in and go, oh, that's kind of bad. That's what the fish was. And you say, oh, no. No, just go ahead and let the trash be the trash. Why carry your dead fish skin into your future? Throw the trash out. It's not who you are. And I'm just telling you right now, sitting in here today are people who likely have done things they're not proud of. Throw the trash out. Stop caring. Why would you let your future be poisoned by carrying your past around like it's some... Please, next week, save one piece of garbage from every day, okay? And bring it with you to church. Who would do that? You don't want anybody to think that way about you, right? I mean, throw the trash out. See, that's what you used to be, the residue of smell. You say, where do you get that, Pastor? Because the Bible says your life is but a vapor. Well, I'm just asking you what your vapor smells like. It smells like the dead fish of your past? See, the Holy Spirit was given to you as a guarantee that your past is no longer effective. But we carry it around like... Did you know that there hasn't been... From the time that somebody made a satchel that we call a suitcase, they made it out of different fabrics and all that. Nobody improved the suitcase for 150 years. Do you know what improved the suitcase? Nobody knows? What? Air. What did you say? Handles and wheels. It's still the same stupid bag. But oh boy, when you put wheels on it, now it's better. In Christianity, we've just put wheels on our suitcase full of junk. It's easier for us to carry it around because we've mobilized it by some sort of badge of courage that says, see, look at my testimony. Your testimony is the trash, in a sense. The good part is really valuable, but the bad part is really not valuable. Are you tracking with me? There's a transition that's taking place through the guarantee of the Holy Spirit that transitions you from a natural understanding to a spiritual understanding. That's the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. So please, I'm begging you, please accept this so that you'll stop pushing back against me. I can feel that in some of you. You just go, well, that's not right. I didn't deserve to be saved. Take that up with God. He sent Jesus, his call. At what point was humanity reflecting that God should send Jesus as a matter of your deservedness? He's like looking down from heaven going, all right, here we go. They got like these 10 rules, right? And they can't even do the 10. I mean, they're coveting their neighbor's stuff. They're forsaking their assembling together, not honoring the Sabbath. They can't even do the 10 simple ones. And so here's how man does it. Did you know that man through the law added 613 amendments to the law? If you can't do 10, what makes you think you can do 623? It didn't get easier, did it? Of course not. So what did he do? He sent Jesus as the fulfillment of the law. He said, okay, you guys couldn't do it, but this dude did. He's my son. He died so that you don't have to. Right? And then the Holy Spirit comes in. Okay, good. Sorry, I just wanted to spend an enormous amount of time evidently on that. I just want you to get it. I want you to quit valuing yourself based on what you do, and I want you to value yourself based on what Jesus did. Does that make sense? I mean, that is a great transition if you can do that. Oh, excuse me. So when you value yourself based on the purchase price and the transition that God does, we then have to kind of go back into the Bible and find out, as a result of the purchase, as a result of the guarantee, what exactly is the earnest money? What's the deposit? What's, you know, and forgive me for saying it this way, what's God's 2 cent worth, you know, back to our pop bottle thing, that provides the value? See, if you don't know that, then you'll just say, well, the pastor says that God says. Well, what do you say? See, one of the greatest questions of Jesus is to his disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? And they all said, you know, whatever their answers were. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? See, it comes down to who do you say? So what did the person of the Holy Spirit bring with into your life? If you don't know those things, we've got 8 minutes of this class. If I had my whiteboard up here, I'd be real teachy with you. And I'd ask you to tell me what the Holy Spirit brought into your life. And here's the difficult thing. It's only valuable if you can base it on something other than your opinion. Well, I think God did this. Well, congratulations. That's great. If you and I can agree on that, then we will have solved the world's problems. No, we wouldn't have. Would we? We have to base it on the Word. Right? John chapter 14, please. Notice this. We got here last week. And I'm going to try and take it apart over the next couple of weeks. And just forgive me for belaboring points, but I want you so desperately to understand this idea of this guarantee. I want you to so recognize that God is transitioning you from a natural understanding to a spiritual understanding. Verse number 15, chapter 14, John, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. Okay, now, sometimes when you read the Gospels, you need to recognize that the law hasn't been fulfilled yet, and who Jesus is talking to are generally Jewish believers who still have an adherence to the law. And so you'll see these things, and you go, wait a minute, didn't Jesus fix that? Yeah, but who's he talking to? He's talking to Jews, right? The Gospel presentation here initially, right? He came not to everybody, but to the household of Israel. Remember that woman who said, but yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Right? And so you have to kind of keep the context here, because some of this is spoken in a context that takes a little bit of understanding. So he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. By the way, God said this through his prophets, but now the Son of God is saying this. Which, in this passage coming up, he said, but yeah, but what are those commandments? Anybody know what those commandments are? Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Cool. Do you see how God fixed the rules from 623 to 2? Isn't that awesome? He didn't say, if you can love your neighbor and not smoke, that'd be good. Love your neighbor, but don't drink. That'd be pretty good. Right? He didn't say those things. He says, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what the problem with number two is? You all hear that. You know what the problem is? We don't love ourselves. We don't have that confidence that allows us to live loud in the confidence of God. Huh? That's pretty good revelation, Pastor. Man, that was really good. I'm just telling you right now, that was a good point. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. Jesus gets his prayers answered. He will give you another of the same kind. It's kind of like a quantity-quality conversation. Another of the same kind, not a number, another of a different kind. Here's the understanding. Two words in the Bible for another. One of them means another of the same kind, and the other one means another of a different kind. Okay, how many of you recognize that an orange is basically an orange? But fruit of another kind means that, and please don't freak out with my example because I know there's an argument about apples, but apple, oranges aren't the same, but they're both fruit. So they're fruit of another kind, right? But oranges and the varieties of oranges are oranges of another, of the same kind, right? When Tracy and I were in the South Pacific at our missionaries in Fiji, outside of the little bungalow we stayed in was this cute little tree. And it produced these really neat little fingerling bananas. They're about 3 inches, 4 inches long. Holy buckets. There is nothing better than a tree-ripened banana. You just walk out your door, pick one off that tree, peel it up. Like one bite. Boom. That's awesome. Do you know there are several different varieties of bananas? They're just another of the same kind. They're all bananas. You getting this? So when he said another of the same kind, he's taking the characteristics and the abilities of the comparative one, helper of another, the same, another kind, you know, right? Within that. So the comparison is the help that God offers. The help that Jesus offered will be offered by the Holy Spirit. Another of the same kind. That kind of quality and quantity. Let's keep reading. He may abide. The Spirit of truth. Notice that in this thing, the Bible says Jesus is full of grace and truth. Truth, right? We see that God cannot lie, so he must be full of truth. Right? And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So inside of you is the guarantee of truth. I didn't say God agreed with everything you said. I'd said he's the truth in you. When you spout off about what you want the truth to be, you might get a caution flag. You know, for an athletic metaphor, the Holy Ghost might throw a penalty flag. Not about your ideas, right? Are we all together? Anybody ever had the penalty flag of the Holy Ghost? Throws it up. You know what happens when you get the penalty flag? You get to go around the mountain again. Whatever that mountain is. What's he saying? No, you can't do that. You can't be that way. I get the penalty flag every once in a while on my attitude. Just occasionally. You know that God doesn't approve of that because the helper in me has an attitude that was born of heaven. How's he want to help me with my attitude? From the attitude from heaven. Oh, really? It's that easy? Yeah. Or the patience from heaven or the joy from heaven, right? The gentleness from heaven. You understand the fruit of the Spirit. Those are all principles of heaven. He wants to give them to you. All right, so I'll quit introducing next week, and we'll just spend some time just going through this chapter and chapter 16. I want to show you those things that are a part of the guarantee. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for teaching us. Father, thank you that we're forever changed. Not that we can figure out why we deserved, but rather, that was your call. You sent your son to die for us when we were still sinners. You sent the solution. That all took place above our pay grade. We're thank you for it. So now, Father, we're not just sinners, but rather we've been saved from something to something. So we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To subscribe to our podcast, search New Life Eckley in all of the major podcasting apps. Audio and video of our sermons are posted at newlifeeckley.com/live, and you can watch sermon slices weekdays on social media. Search at New Life Eckley. Our main service is at 10 a.m. Mountain Time every Sunday. Thanks for listening.